Today on Radio Jackie, I'm speaking with Gino Fiorellino, who is from Surbiton. Now, for anyone hearing your story for the first time, tell us what happened on that night in 1989 that changed everything.
It was just basically just a very simple standard motorbike accident in August 89. And it only initially left me with a broken right leg and scratches on my face. But that one night completely redirected the entire course of my life. It resulted in a complex below knee amputation and a 4-decade battle of survival.
Now tell us, how much do you remember about the accident and what was the immediate aftermath like?
Don't remember nothing at all prior to 3 hours before the accident. And the first time I was aware of the accident is when I woke up in an English hospital on the floor, just having gone to the toilet in a wheelchair, stood up, had a wee, and then tried to walk off. So I landed on the stump that had the bandage on. And that's the first time really that I knew that I didn't have a leg.
Wow, that is absolutely incredible. And you say that you had a few scratches and a broken right leg. How did that then lead to amputation?
What happened was, when I was flown back from Crete after 36 hours, they didn't do anything to me in Crete, in the hospital. They didn't even clean the blood, nothing. My family cleaned the blood off me when I was actually in the hospital. And as I say, I got flown back to England about 36 hours after, then I was taken straight to Kingston Hospital. They fitted a traction pin in my right leg to straighten the leg and maybe secure the bone or whatever. And then I was straight away transferred to Atkinson Woolleys, which was a brain specialist hospital in Wimbledon, where I was for about 2 or 3 days. Everything was clear on my brain scans and everything. And then when I went back to Kingston Hospital, there was reports in the hospital notes that the leg was becoming cold. Like I say, I didn't know nothing about this at all because they kept drugging me, obviously, because I was probably in a lot of pain. And they just kept me on drugs. Like I say, the first time I remember anything is after they cut my leg off and I was on the hospital floor after going to the toilet. Sounds far-fetched, but that is the truth.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's astonishing, really, isn't it? And you've now written a book about your experience. One night changed everything. And you've spent around 20 years writing this, haven't you? Why did you feel like now was the right time to release your story?
Well, basically, I didn't want to release a story whilst my parents were alive because it's not really nice for parents to read about their child, I don't think. And I think it would have made them very, very, very upset with how I was living my life. And then obviously I've got children as well, and they're all grown up now, so they've got a better understanding. Really, I could have written this book probably more than 10 years ago. It was probably ready to be written more than 10 years ago. But obviously in this last 10 years, a lot of things have been added to the book as well, because a lot of things have happened in my life.
And you write that this isn't just a story about losing a limb. What do you want Radio Jackie listeners to truly understand about your daily reality?
Yeah, I want people to understand that I struggle nearly every day with mobility just on its own. Living with the amputation isn't just about clicking on an artificial leg. It's the constant grueling daily battle with physical independence. Fluid changes in your body. It changes the volume of the stump, the socket pressures. And people don't, it's very difficult for people to understand this unless you actually go through it yourself, which a lot of amputees go through it, but a lot of us keep quiet not because it's embarrassing, but it's, what can we do?
And you've lived with disability and chronic pain for nearly 40 years now. What have been the biggest challenges, would you say?
My challenges are day by day. I'm often altering my legs daily just to get that extra little bit of mobility. It just varies from day to day, the weather, the climate, you name it, the activities I do. Everything alters the leg. Everything is involved with the leg. And my life is revolved around my leg, really. It's the only way I've managed to get by.
And we've seen your grassroots bicycle campaigns around Kingston and Surbiton with a giant teddy bear. What kept you moving forward through the chronic pain and hidden archives?
just really to show people that at the end of the day, as the amount that we suffer, we are still just normal human beings, just trying to get on with things as best as possible, even though it is sometimes really hard, but we try our best.
And you've become a strong advocate for healthcare and people with disabilities. Tell us, where did that passion come from?
I think it's actually my personality. I just want to help wherever I can. It's like when I've done the bike rides around the hospitals for the young doctors, even though I felt a bit unlucky with the way I was treated in hospital, we still need them. They still got more knowledge than the general person's got. So we need them. So we've got to support them.
And I know that you had to fight aggressive employment tribunals and cold official systems inside courtrooms. What made you choose to fight?
I had no choice. If I wanted to carry on living, I had to fight them. It was just total nightmare, all of it. The benefits, the medical, it's just non-stop battling all the time. But I've come through the other end.
And your message is, don't judge until you know the true story. What do you want people to understand about living with a disability?
Just the ups and the downs, the mood swings, the, you know, I'm probably not a bad example of this, maybe a good example, because no matter what, I will always try and put a smile on my face, even if I'm in pain, even if I'm struggling. I just don't want maybe the sympathy vote. It's not my personality to want the sympathy vote, but I do struggle.
Now, let's talk about the incredible support you've received on recent posts online. And you're also a Surbiton resident. Thousands of local people have been viewing your posts about the book. Why do you think your story has connected so strongly here?
Well, I don't know. I think it's because it's a true story. I mean, I put a new post on Monday, and that's already up to 8,300 views just in 4 days. So it's obvious that the local community are very, very supportive. And I don't know whether they understand or don't understand, but they're with you. They're supporting you. It's brilliant.
And how does it feel to have the support of your community?
Wow, it really makes me feel good. Very, very good and happy.
Now, you've had quite a life beyond the accident, including appearing alongside Gokwan on Channel 4. How did this come about?
The Gokwan come about, I was with a disability model agency, Visible People, run by Louise Dyson. And wow, she was very, very big help. Well, not just to me, to a lot of disabled people, just giving them the opportunity of doing something different or doing a passion of people. And yeah, it's just great. Very exciting to do something like that.
Yeah, I bet. And I also know that during the pandemic, you built a DIY camera mount so you could cycle safely as an amputee. What inspired you to do that?
To do that, I just wanted to show people that we can be normal. We want to be part of society. Even though we've got disabilities, we still want to be included in general day-to-day living. And I think supporting other people is helping and, in general, being normal.
And going back to your memoir, you've been writing it for a while now. What was it like revisiting some of the most difficult moments of your life while writing it?
Depressing and interesting. Brought back a lot of memories going through the book, because obviously, like I say, I've been writing it for probably, you know, near 20 years, and going through some of the stuff, I do not know how I got through it. I do not know.
And what can people expect when they read your book?
That's a hard question. It's basically my saying, don't judge someone until you know the true full story. Because people look at me and they think, oh, normal, oh, handsome, good body. But that's not reality for me. Reality is pain.
So there's a message deeper in the book as well. And I know you've been through a lot. And what do you hope people take away from your story after reading it?
I think the best thing that other people can do when they read a story like this is to give the person the benefit of the doubt if something's said or something is done, especially with someone who's probably got an obvious disability. You've got to give them the benefit of the doubt, because you know what? We're normal human beings. We don't set out to hurt anybody. We just want to be part of society.
And finally, your Final Perfection retail paperbacks and Kindle editions have officially launched worldwide this week. So congratulations for that. It's absolutely incredible.
Thank you very much.
What does this moment mean to you?
I just wanted to get a true permanent account of my life and disability in print. So nothing can be argued. Everything is written in the book and it's 100% true. The ultimate victory out of all of it is I'm still here. I don't know how I've done it, but I am still here on this earth.
And I'm just curious what you would say to someone who is maybe going through their own struggles, their own difficulties, not necessarily the same journey as you, but something similar or something completely different, but they're going through something difficult. What would your advice be to them?
Well, funny you should mention that, because in the last 4 weeks, I've joined a lot of websites, amputee websites, and I'm getting about, well, I don't know, maybe 12 messages a day from where I read things and I respond to what they're asking or advice that they want. Yeah, it's like I'm an advocate now for lots of amputees because I've lived it. I have lived it.
Now, I know that you've approached film studios about your book. I'm guessing you could see One Night Changed Everything becoming a film or a TV drama, could you? That'd be great.
I'd like to think so. And I think it would be very educational for a lot of people. We have to point out that I think that I'm quite a rare case of an amputee with the problems I've had, because some amputees, you know, they just take to it like ducks to water. But that, I think that happens at the initial surgery stage where they might get a little bit of help with the surgery. And then you've got people that are born without limbs, where they haven't got the nerve endings. We're all different. This is the thing. So we can't put one amputee in a certain category. We're all different. And we've all got our pluses and we've all got our minuses.
And I'm curious, if you were to have someone playing you in the film or the TV drama, who would you like it to be? Or would you play yourself?
Oh, I'd love to play it myself, but I don't think I'd have the mobility to do it. Do you know what? I've never thought about it and I'm not really worried. I'd probably want someone who's not that famous, who has an opportunity to become famous.